But I guess since I've been assigned, I better do it because I might hear from Mr. McCready. So, but it really fits in good with everything that's been said today. You know, we truly are a lucky people. We have been blessed so much, and we never want to take it for granted. You know, we've done it so long, some of us, we just sort of like get in a routine. And you know, we can't do that. We always have to keep pushing ourselves to do more, to do better. And the reason is because we don't want to slide. Because see, when you get comfortable zone, you know, Mr. Craig's gave the sermons about getting outside your zones. Well, I've been outside a few of my zones, and they're kind of scary. But you know, you can do them. You put your faith and trust in God, and you walk forward. And God is always there. And if we do our part, we will always be with God. You know, we had a great, I thought it was just a great holy day yesterday down in Cincinnati. Good messages. It was just one fine day to wrap up the days of unleavened bread. Now, I haven't had any leavened bread yet. Have any of you had any leavened bread? Nobody's going to show me their hand. And you know, well, I guess all one. You know, sometimes you didn't work out. You guys didn't help me at all, you know, because I was going to say, you know, some of us just jump back into where we were at, basically going back into what we were always used to. I would have had it, but I didn't have a chance to get any, so that's the reason why I didn't have any, because I enjoy the onion and egg matzos very well. I hadn't had any for 2 or 3 years, and I ate my share of them this year. But you know, what we learn from days on living bread is what we learn from God every day. He tells us what? Basically, we have to come out of this world. Just for reference, go to Romans 12:2. It tells us we have to come out of this world. And you know, we have to fight it every day. We have to fight it every day. And we have to be very much aware of it. And because of the grace of God, you and I have been called. We've been chosen to be called. But you know, there's many others who have been chosen to be called. We have known a lot of them and are not with us anymore. It's what we do once we are chosen to be called so that we can be chosen to enter into God's kingdom. That's why he says many are called, but few are chosen. To be chosen, we have to finish the race. We have to be doing what God says. And it's something we have to do every day of our life until we die. Every day. But sometimes we say, you know, I've been called, I've been chosen. True statement. But you haven't been chosen till the very end for the final choosing. You were chosen to understand God's truth. Your calling was to be chosen to understand it. But how many of the people do we know that have left that calling? I've known hundreds, many more than are here, that are no longer with us. And if you think, if you've been in church very long, you can do the same thing. And we miss those, but we cannot do anything about it because they chose to leave. They chose to leave. Why did they choose to leave? Well, I hope to go over that a little bit and try to show you what can happen to each of us if we don't keep our minds focused on keeping the leavening of this world out of our lives. Days on 11 bed are over with, but we must keep that in mind all the time that we live in this world. And this world that we live in today is Satan's world at this time. And if you don't believe it, do you think God would have what's going on in this world if he was ruling it? Do you think there'd be the murders? Do you think there'd be the lies, the divorces, everything you see around you, that's not the way of God. You and I know that. Why? Because God opened our minds. And we've been chosen to understand that. We have the responsibility of continuing to be chosen and follow the calling that God has given us so we can be chosen for God's kingdom, to become the royal priesthood that God has offered you and me. Why has He called us and not others? Someday maybe He'll tell us. But there is a reason. We all sometimes say, why? Why would He call me? Where did I come from? Why do I deserve such an opportunity? Why would God love me this much? Because He loves each and every one of us. He loves the whole world. Christ didn't just give His life for those He called right now. He gave it for the whole world, who will have an opportunity also to understand and be a part of His kingdom. But we are the blessed ones. And we need to count our blessings on that every day. And sometimes we don't. Because, you see, we get wrapped up in the world and we get busy. And, well, I need to do this or I need to do that. I liked the man's sermon yesterday. And I think Darris McNeely had told us that we need to do something to break a habit. To make a habit was 21 times. And then yesterday, he said, really to ingrain it in you, you have to do it 66 times in a row. It wasn't Darris. Guy's name. What was his name? Yeah. But anyhow, that struck me. I said, wow. It went from three times more. But you know, if you do it three times more, it will be ingrained in your life what you do. And I know people who do certain things every day. Stay close to God. It's been a habit of theirs for 40-some years. I know a lady, which won't tell you who. She's still in the church, and I understand why. Before she goes to pray before the living God, she puts on her makeup, she gets dressed, and then she prays, kneels down and prays to God. I have gone before God just trying to get out of bed and hoping I can stay awake some mornings when I used to get up at 4 o'clock or 4:30 in the morning. But you see, God accepted me because my heart was right. But He really, I'm sure, accepts this lady who comes before Him looking like she's coming before a king every day. Dressed. I don't know if she dressed in her best, but she dresses up, puts her makeup on, and then she goes and talks to God. What a habit. Now, to me, that is a wonderful habit, because I'm sure God would rather see someone looking with their hair combed and, you know, her breath not smelling so bad and, you know, telling out how much you love me. But I always thought, what an example, you know. But she understands who she's coming before. See, sometimes we forget. If we build a good habit, we won't forget. It becomes something that is ingrained in us. So we need to make sure we build good habits. So today I'd like for us to realize what a blessing is to come before God. And He has opened our minds. I'm not going to turn to it, to Leviticus 23, showing us His plan for all mankind. We're just blessed at this time to receive the calling, and we want to be chosen, so we're following and trying to become and do God's will at all times so we can be chosen to be in His kingdom for eternity. But I always like the one thing in there at the very end of the Holy Days when it talks about the Holy Day offering. Do we realize how important that is to God? You see, He doesn't say you got to give 5%, you got to give 10%. He tells you a free will offering. He leaves it upon each of us to figure how much we have been blessed. Sometimes we need to think about that more. Only because we would do it more in our whole life. And every day we wake up counting our blessings. Because you see, when we give that, it is a free will offering. And it is from the heart. Because you don't have to give anything. Or you can give, well, I won't say anything. You should give a little bit. But you could say, well, I can really only afford to give such and such. Now, God doesn't expect any of us to give more than we can afford. He wants us to give, though, and realize the blessings we have had. And there's no way we can outgive God. The blessing of us being here today is hard to beat. Many people would love to know and understand what you and I know. But see, God isn't opening their minds at this time. But if we leave, like some others have left before us, there are thousands out there that He can put in our place. There are thousands, millions. Because you see, this is such an important position that we are in at this time. We're to be future kings and priests in God's kingdom. We're going to be in God's city. So I thought to bring this home today, a little bit of why people left and why we don't want to leave and how we can guard against it. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 13. That's many are called and few are chosen. I meant to say that, didn't say it. I want you to turn with me to Matthew 13 is where I want you to turn to. You've read this many times. You've heard it many times over the years. It's a parable of the sower. I'm hopefully get the point across about how much we have to count our blessings for understanding what God is saying here in the parable of the sowers. Sower. We'll start in verse 3. This is Christ speaking. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed some seeds, fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. That's what happens when we don't stay close to God. We decide, you know, well, I can do this and I can do this. And all of a sudden you're outside of God's protection because you and I have chosen to do that. Think about it. We have chosen to go outside the bounds where the seed is being thrown. If we want to stay there with any good ground at all, we have to be where the seed is sown good ground. So what happens is they get devoured. Because like was mentioned during the Holy Days, once you get wrapped up in something, it doesn't get better. You just get worse. You know, one mistake leads to two mistakes, two sins, three sins. It's not just one mistake and you're done unless you repent immediately. And that's what we need to be aware of. We have to repent immediately. And then some fell upon stony places. For they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. So they sort of got lost from out of the good ground. So they didn't get in the good ground. So when they come up, they didn't have what? Didn't have the nourishment they needed. And that's ones who weren't called. You know, they basically came in but weren't really called, but it was good for a while. Flower comes up and it dies because there's no earth. First sun comes up, gets hot, there's nothing for it to live on. And it says, and when the sun was up, were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And then some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them. This could be their own problems, choked them after they started seeing and, you know, getting excited about what they understood. But the ways of the world, the ways of what they lived in, it choked them out. They didn't have good roots. And Now, the farmer threw sowed the seed, you know, to everybody. But not everybody takes hold of what he gives. You know, it's like anything else. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. We want to be the one who falls in the good ground. The good ground has good soil, will hold the water, be able to go deep into roots, and we won't be smothered out by anything that we're doing. We will not let, the world overcome us. We'll not let ourselves go back into the world. That's why you have to have strong roots. You have to be able to take care of the storms, the rain, whatever comes by, you can handle it. That's why it says in the Bible, those who endure to the end. Those who endure to the end. Those will be in God's kingdom. Now, of course, we go over here into a little bit later, and Christ explains this, you know, in a little bit different sense than what I just said, to a degree. I'm trying to get a point across. But if you go down to verse 18, well, let's go to 16. It said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. God has opened our hearts and minds to see, just as he did the apostles, to see and understand and hear and listen. And by hearing and listening and seeing, we're obeying. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which ye see and have not seen them, to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Many wise men, many smart people, many educated, highly educated people, they can read the Bible and they don't get a thing out of it as you and I get. If you don't believe it, read some books some of them write. And you're going, where in the world did they get that? How did they come up with that? Well, that's all they can see. That's all they can understand. But God has given you and me the opportunity to understand and see and know him through Jesus Christ. In verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. So see, Satan takes away anything that was received by the person from God. And that can happen when a first comes into first hears the truth, or they can come into church for a little while and not get their foot in the good ground. And it's easy for Satan to deceive, to pull them away. There are so many ways to be pulled away from God's truth. And Satan's out there every day trying to find a way to make you and I sin against God. Because when we sin, it's against God. Because it's his laws we're breaking. We're not sinning against, we may be hurting some other person, but we're breaking God's law. And when we break God's law, there is a consequence. Unless we repent. And that's why Christ came. And that's what we've been doing the last week and a half or two. Preparing for Passover, looking at ourselves, trying to make sure we're cleansing ourselves of our sins, looking at ourselves, what we do. And we go to Passover, ask God to forgive. We take the bread and wine. And then we're forgiven. And then he gives us 7 days to see leavening in this world. And in our lives that we must get rid of. Maybe we're doing something with a group of people we shouldn't be doing. Maybe we're more excited about being with someone outside the church or outside the family than we are with being and doing God's way and being with people. It's like being in a car, and somebody in the car does something stupid, like goes and steals something out of somebody's yard, and they put it in the car, and you're with them, and you go with them. Guess what? You're guilty, because you should get out of the car. When the cops come and they get everybody in that car, you're guilty, because you had the opportunity when he ran out to go get something to get out of that car. And once you've been caught in something like that, you usually won't forget it, because you weren't planning on anything. You said, well, I didn't do anything. Yeah, you sort of condoned it because you didn't do anything to get out of it. If you hang around sin, before long, you're going to be associated with sin, and probably you will sin. We're to be working on a pure heart and pure mind. That's what God is wanting us to do. Verse 21, and yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by, he is offended. I forgot verse 20, didn't I? Sorry about that. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word anon, and with joy receiveth it. In other words, he's so happy. And I know when you came in, I know when I came in, and a lot of you, when God opened your mind, you just couldn't get enough. You could say, wow, how come I never saw that before? That makes so much sense. You know, I've read the Bible before, but I didn't get that. How come now? So you're on a high. You're on a high when you come into church because, boy, you just want to know, give me more, tell me more, you know. And there again, you don't want to give a babe too much information because then it's overwhelming and that can put a babe out also. It's a growing process. So then what happens when persecution arises, then they get offended. You know, back in the Proverbs or Psalms, I forget, somebody tell me, just come to mind, if you're a Christian, you can't be offended. Whoa, you know that? Can't be offended. If you're really a Christian, you can't be offended. Because you're supposed to be full of love like God is. God is love. Love forgives all. Something that we all have to be reminded of once in a while. Can't get our feelings hurt and say, oh, well, such and such did this. Well, that's their problem, not yours. You're to love them and say, hopefully they find out and understand. You know, hopefully God will bless them and, you know, let it go on, but not to hold anything against them. And hopefully after a while they'll see themselves. If not, as a friend, if it really gets real bad, you as a friend might go up and say something nice to them and say, you know, do you realize you da da, and you know, if they're a true Christian, guess what? They're going to thank you. Because they may not even realize they do it. But then the other side is, who do you think you are to tell me this? I'm all right. You're the one, you know. You're interfering. Well, guess what that is? That's carnality. That's not love. That's vanity. No one tells me I'm wrong. I do everything right. You're the problem, not me. You know, I never do anything wrong. Wow. You know, that's why you see so many divorces. Think about it. No one will admit they're wrong. Especially in today's age. Nobody wants to admit they're wrong. So if there's a problem, they say, well, I ain't dealing with this. I'm gone. Satan loves that. Guess what? You put a sacred thing that God puts together, and you just blew it away saying, well, I don't care what God says. I don't care what. I'm not going to work on it. I'll walk away. I don't need this. Is that the way of the world? You betcha. The way of God? No, it's not. We always have to remember we've got to do what God says. And if we're close to God, hopefully we'll always be, what? Open to what God says and listen and change. I'm not saying it's always easy, because we all sin. But we need to make sure that we are open and not closed-minded, not so vain, and let vanity get a hold of us, that we will not repent, because then you will leave eventually. Many of us have been around church for many years. When do people leave? They just quit right now? No. No. They slowly work themselves out the door. You know? Once in a while you may get someone who gets offended and just walks out, you know. But most of them start coming later and start leaving sooner. And before long, they make it just before church starts, and 5 minutes after church, they're gone. Then they'll be gone for a while, but you know what? I'd say maybe 8 out of 10 of them come back for Passover for a few years before they really quit. Because, you know, they still know in their gut that they better take Passover if they want to have a chance. Because if they don't repent and ask forgiveness and hope they'll examine themselves and come back, they know they got problems. But, you know, after a while, Satan hardens their heart and they don't care and they quit and don't care about coming back anymore. We never want to be that way. We never want to leave. We want to stay close to God. Verse 22. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. That happens to a lot of people. They say, well, I can't work on Saturday, so I can't have anything. You know, I can use that money. I had a boss one time, years ago, I was working in construction, and he asked me to work on Saturday. And I could use the money back then, because I had a growing family, and, you know, when you're beginning, it's always tight, normally. And, he talked to me all week. He said, oh, come on, Dave. He says, you can work on Saturday. I said, no, I can't. I can't. I said, I keep God's Sabbath. I can't do that. So he asked me again Friday before I left. You want to come in tomorrow and work? I said, no, I won't be here, sir. I said, appreciate the offer, but can't do it. So next morning, we're about ready to, probably 5 minutes before we're ready to go out the door, get a phone call. Here the man calls. He said, I know you can't work today, he said, but would you come in tomorrow and work 4 hours? Sunday's double time. Saturday's time and a half. There wasn't a soul there when I went to work that day. But he trusted that I'd do the job. But he did everything he could in his power to get me to work on Saturday that day, that week. And sure enough, you know, the next week he did the exact same thing. And sure enough, he called me and I got to work on Sunday. Now people say, oh, you were lucky. Nah, I don't think so. You know, I believe in the higher God who knew that my heart was pure and I wasn't going to break his Sabbath. And that's what we're working towards, each of us, to have a pure heart in serving God. No ifs, ands, buts. God is in charge. Now, I won't tell you about the times I failed, okay? I failed too at different times. But the thing is, when it comes to something, you know, you got to be willing to stand up for God if it gets down to it. And that's what happens when people want to have money, think they need prestige. God can give us everything, but would we learn anything? We have to learn and grow. That's what it's all about. When you first come into church, you think, wow, this is the greatest thing in the world. It's like, this is a piece of cake. I'll walk right through this thing. I'm going to walk into God's kingdom. Woo, here I go. Well, guess what? When they told me you had to endure, I used to hear the sermon, you have to endure. I said, are you kidding me? And I'm sure a lot of you felt the same way. I'm kept the feast tavern. Man, this is the wonderfulest thing I've ever been to. All these people here, we're singing, we're happy. We have all this money. We've been saving our tithes. And man, we're out here eating in good restaurants. And boy, we can buy things that we wouldn't buy during the year. And oh, boy, we've really been blessed. And then life goes on. And a few trials come your way. And then when you've been in church, I've been in church 50 years this fall. Had a few trials, I'm going to tell you. I probably created part of them, but I'm sure Satan's created part of them too, for you have to go through. But whenever we overcome and go through a trial, we do what? We build character. And we want to have God's character, right? That's the only character that matters. Lying and cheating and stealing can get you killed, you know. Can get so everybody hates you. But if you're doing God's will, even those who hate you respect you. They respect you. Now, they don't like what you're doing, and they say, if these people would change, they'd really be nice. Heard that to feast sites many times. You people are really a peculiar people, but you're really nice, but you keep that Sabbath, and you know, if you didn't do that, don't you realize that's why we are what we are? God has shown us this is what we're to be. This is what He is like. And when we change and become more like Him, we become that light we talk about in Matthew. God says we're to be a light to the world. One of these days, the light to the world is going to be the living God, and it's going to be so bright nobody can stand it except those who are spirit. And that's where you and I want to be. I'm in trouble. I'm in a lot of trouble. Barry, you went too long. No. No, that was a very good sermon. Whoa. Okay. Whew. All right. We may have to go at a little faster speed, I guess. Okay. Whew. So you see, you and I have to overcome the world. And we have to overcome the carnality and the carnal mind the world set puts into each of us. You know? Because if we listen at all and take an end of the world, I guarantee you we're going to go the wrong way and we're going to slide into what? Sin. And you're going to lose that innocence of a baby. You know, when you see a baby, you just hug them and just, oh, they're so cute, they're just so lovely, they can't do anything wrong, right? Well, they can't do anything at all but eat and sleep and do the other end, you know? I got this new grandchild, and somebody asked me to do something. I said, well, I got to see which day I get to babysit. Because it's the only grandchild we've had in the area when they were small. So it's going to take a lot for me not to be with my grandbaby. I told my daughter, Crystal, I said, sweetie, if you and Chris decide to move, you leave, but the baby stays with me. You know? They grow on you, that's for sure. My other one's always away, so I had to go see him and only got to see him for a little bit of time. But what can I tell you? I might have to steal him, no. But the baby, see, and that's what we are when we come into God's truth. We're just there, and as you realize, when we come into God's truth, He just sort of cuddles us through, feeds us, and takes care of us, and we're just going fine up the road. And then we get a little older, and just like teenagers, sometimes we rebel. And that's when we have to learn that we have to check ourselves and repent. The more knowledge we have, the more wisdom we have, the more we're held accountable for. It's like when you start out as a laborer on a job, and then all of a sudden you come up and you're a machinist, or you go a little bit higher up. But guess what? You have that much more responsibility. It's like when you're single, hey, you go do what you want, whenever you want, don't answer to anybody. And once you get married, well, That wife didn't want me to go do and run around with my buddies like I used to. And I'm going, but yeah, but. And she says, yeah, but. But you live here with me. I go, oh. And I never understood the language. If mama's not happy, nobody's happy. It took me 5 years. I finally got through this noggin that if I wanted to have a good marriage, I had better listen. And I'm glad I did. Because you see, marriage is from God. As two people have two different ways of thinking about things, and they mash together and become one. And if you were together and you're heading towards God, what a great thing it is. It's a team heading towards God's kingdom. Those who don't have that, it's tougher. And it's a trial. But God will see us through all trials. And God will strengthen us through the trials we face. And we're always able to help others. Whatever we learn from, we should be sharing with our brothers and sisters to help them in a situation they may be in. That's what a family does. And we're a family. We're God's family. It's a family that God wants us to grow in. And He never wants to stop growing, I don't think. Because do any of you ever say, well, I just want grandchildren. I don't want great-grandchildren, you know, and I don't want great-great-grandchildren, you know. I see my mother-in-law. She sees little Noah, and that's her great-great-grandchild. And boy, her face, oh, isn't he the greatest thing you ever saw? You know. Of course, I'm saying, yay, amen. No. You know. But, you know, that's the way it is. Because like a family, when someone comes to it, guess what? Oh, that's our child. Oh, that's part of me. That's my lineage of where I'm at. That's the exact way God is. God loves each and every one of us. And He wants each and every one of us to be in His kingdom. He isn't making this new city, Jerusalem, for 5,000 people, 10,000 people. Think about it. Ooh. That city is a big city. Someday I'm going to give you a sermon on it and help you to understand how big that city is. Because I couldn't comprehend it when I finally realized how big it was. I realized there's so many square miles this way, but when you go that many miles up, that is one huge, what'd you say? It's so far up there I can't believe it. How's that? But I will bring it out to you. But you go 140 miles straight up, that is a long way. Airplanes don't go nowhere near that. They go 30,000 feet, 40,000 feet. That's just the beginning. Just the beginning of God's city, how high it is. But let's move on. Okay. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 4, if you will. Real quick. If you turn with me to verse 7 and 8, 9, this is what Paul said. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Paul is saying, do your diligence. Come to me. You know where I am going. You and I have to do the diligence of loving, serving, growing. And to do that, we have to study, pray, fast. We have to serve. We have to learn to put off human carnality, which is all about us. So it's not an easy thing to do. We fight the world every day we're out there. And if we don't, we as a seed can lose our footing. None of us want to quit being watered by the living God. And to be watered by it, we have to study. We have to pray. And a young man said, if we're having a problem with something, maybe we need to do it 66 days in a row so that it is a positive thing in our life. It's a positive habit will keep each of us on the right track. That track leads to God the Father. That's the track that you and I want to be on. Let's be sure that you and I are doers of God's will. Let's be sure that we're doing the right thing. Being chosen to be called is wonderful. But now being chosen to be in God's kingdom, that is wonderful. That is for eternity with God the Father. Let's be sure we keep our seeds well watered, well nurtured, well cared for. Let's be sure that we're continuing to grow in the loving grace of our God and Father, Jesus Christ. Because God is waiting for us. He has a crown for us. Let's not lose it. Let's not give it up. Let's claim that crown that God has for you and me.